Hello, everyone. This is our edition of the Women Innovators and Trailblazers podcast. Like I said before, my name is Brooklyn, and everyone already introduced themselves, I'm guessing, with Abby, Julia, Alexa, and Chad. So we want to both thank Megan and Catherine for joining us today. And you guys could just reintroduce yourselves for me.
Catherine, you can go first.
Okay. Hi, my name is Catherine Ticcone. I am a co-founder of Open Pixel Studios, which provides animation services for businesses and organizations.
And I'm Megan Henshin. My work is in business management, specifically in the areas of strategy and marketing, working with startups and big brands. Before relocating to Western Mass, I was with Procter & Gamble and Gillette. And now I am with Launch 413 primarily, which enables startups to achieve growth through hands-on advising.
Cool. Okay. So what is you guys' background?
My background is all creative, coming from being an animator for over a decade at this point. I come from a lot of the artistic world. My family was very involved in theater and liberal arts and all that kind of great stuff. So I have been sort of supported and encouraged throughout my time growing up to like do something creative. So it was kind of like a natural progression into animation because it complements both like video production and theater and design, all that great stuff.
So I started my career first on Capitol Hill, and then I transitioned to the marketing arena, where I began in public relations, working for startup high-tech companies, you know, based all across the United States. So there I got a sense of businesses as they start at a small scale, and how they grow and how they use strategic communications, public relations, analyst relations, as a key lever in their plans. You know, often these companies don't have much budget for marketing. So PR, what's called earned media, you know, is a key way for them to get noticed. Then I pursued an MBA at MIT's Sloan School of Management. And from there, I went to Gillette, which was soon acquired by Procter & Gamble, where I was in brand management, which basically, if you think about any brand that you shop, a brand is basically a business. It has its own P&L. It has cross-functional teams in sales, marketing, operations, engineering, package design, and so forth. So really in that domain, the brand manager role is a business leader, you know, working cross-functionally. And since moving to Western Mass and eventually moving on from P&G, I've been consulting in the local area to establish companies and startup companies, basically getting a chance to give my sum total of all my experience to put to bear on whatever challenges these clients face.
Cool. So that gives us good insight on your backgrounds so far, but more specifically, where did you guys graduate from and what were your degrees in?
Yeah. So I am a UMass Amherst alum. I went through a program there called BDIC, which is a bachelor's degree of individualized concentration, which is kind of like saying that I wrote my own curriculum and made my own major. So I took a lot of classes, not only in animation, but in video production, graphic design, acting, sound design, kind of everything that sort of gave you a look into how an animation production is run from start to finish. And from there, I ended up having a few internships and full-time jobs as a result of it, which was wonderful, and ended up doing a little more schooling through Animation Mentor, which is a two-year online school that is a very like character animation intensive course that kind of teaches you. Your mentors are people that work in the industry right now at like the major studios, Pixar, Disney, you name them, they're there. And they help teach you how to be very technically trained in what you do. And so that has pushed my career a lot further as well. And so now coming into like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you said you made your own curriculum. Did you have to have like guidelines for that? Or was it kind of free? Or were you looking at what other classes offered? Or
Good question. Yeah, they had, so there was an advisor that would kind of work you through the process and make sure that your goals aligned to what you wanted to accomplish, mm-hmm. And like which classes aligned to your goals. So you had an advisor along the way, but it was really kind of this open, freeform idea or concept. They even had a class where, or there was a student that I will never forget because I remember her major incorporated alpaca farming and international business. And she would like knit with alpaca wool and then she would like sell it internationally. It was very cool. So like you could like merge majors together to create your own thing. So that was probably it kind of fueled another form of creativity.
That sounds like so much fun, Catherine.
It was, yeah.
So for undergraduate, I went to Notre Dame in Indiana and I studied liberal arts and majored in English and economics. I also was able to study abroad while I was at Notre Dame in London. And I really fell in love with art history and just really enjoyed learning. Then I actually, during my career in public relations, I took a sabbatical because I won a scholarship to study at Trinity College Dublin, where I earned a master's in Anglo-Irish literature. And then I returned to my career path after considering whether I would pursue that, you know, further and go into a professor track. I ultimately decided not to do that. And then after several years working in public relations, I decided that I really wanted the job that my clients had, which is usually their titles were like vice president of marketing or something like that. So I decided that going to business school would be the best plan for me to make that jump to a management track on the client side, so to speak. So I earned an MBA from MIT Sloan School of Management. But I think importantly, I read a lot. I keep up with, you know, the Wall Street Journal, and I'm always trying to stay fresh and stay current and stay educated about, you know, all of what's going on in business and strategy and marketing. And I think that's most important, just your curiosity and what you do that than anything else.
Cool. So can you guys tell us a little bit about your families and how, if they had any impact on your career choices or your school choices or anything like that?
Yeah, I guess my family is all sorts of artistic. My grandpa was a painter at like 90 years old. He bought an iMac and was doing digital paintings in Photoshop. So he is my inspiration to this day. My dad worked in Broadway on doing lighting and sound design, like set design and things like that. So it's kind of like in my blood to do something creative and artistic. So they really, really pushed me to kind of pursue whatever it was within the creative field that I was passionate about. And at the time, I remember in middle school, we had a career day. And I remember taking, I had at the time of Sega Genesis and like Nintendo Power magazine. And I like cut out all of these, I made like a three-sided poster board of just a collage of different video games and like things that I loved. And I said, I'm going to be a video game designer. And really had no idea what that meant at the time because it's a very loose term in our industry. But it eventually led into animation, and like they were the ones who, you know, helped me work on the collage to put everything together. Like they were just super, super supportive of everything that I wanted to do. And it was interesting to see kind of what they saw as like success in the industry, because they saw me grow and they saw me go into different places. I've worked at EA and a number of other big video game studios. And there was this transition that they had to learn as well when I became a business owner, that was like a total shift from what I was doing. I was working in California. I was like living the like animation dream, as they call it. So to make this kind of big switch to go to be a business owner and to learn how to go through that whole process, that was an interesting thing for them. They had to like step back and be like, oh, what is it? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And I was like, I'm not crazy. I promise. It's going to go great. So that was interesting, but they still were very supportive the whole way through.
Yeah, my family has a range of sort of occupations and interests, but I think the one common thread was that I was lucky in how well-nurtured I was. as a child. You know, reading was always tremendously valued and encouraged in my home. So I always had that exposure to books, and that you can just be interested in something and you can read about it and pursue knowledge that way. Formal education was always a value and no doubt. But the idea that, you know, we're all called to be lifelong learners and to cultivate interests. And, you know, my father talked about the idea of, you know, do what you love and the money will come. So not to have this pressure to earn, you know, wonder about the salaries and be focused on that right away. But if you're doing what you love, the money will come. So that was a valued piece of advice for sure. And to really seek some adventure, you know, things like getting on a plane and going overseas for the first time in college was something that was really encouraged. You know, see the world, but open your eyes, open your mind, and see what's possible. And I think that stays with me. And the idea of whenever I have a chance to meet someone new, try something new, offer services, offer time, if that's what it takes, I try to always say yes, because I do think that life is not linear and you really never know how one interaction will feed into something else, whether that something else happens in the next month or the next year or the next couple of years. That's been, you know, tremendous for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So Megan, how many people have you mentored?
Well, this is a specific program through Women Innovators and Trailblazers. And Catherine and I are part of the first cohort that they've ever had to put this program together. So it is a new initiative in terms of, you know, what's going on in Western Mass and Hampden County. So one interesting note about that is that although Catherine and I, through basically an online quiz, were initially paired together, Catherine has chosen to keep the relationship going past the initially defined time period. So it's been, that part is really enriching to be able to stay on this journey with her and, you know, track to all the great developments at OpenPixel and stay on that path with her.
So how long have you guys been working together?
I want to say it's been a little less than a year then, because I think we started maybe last June.
Right.
I think. Is that when the first, I don't know if you know, Mary.
Maybe it was last June. It must have.
I know. Time is like such a weird construct right now. So
we have to figure out when it launched. It was either June 18 or June 19, but
yeah.
Yes. Sunny weather down at Starbucks. Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
So who and what made you guys get into mentoring? Or Megan, what made you? Who or what made you get into mentoring?
Well, I really was trying to, I try to make sure I'm involved in my community in which I live. And there are a lot of great ways for people interested in business and so forth. There are some, you know, marquee organizations around here. WIT was a newer one, and I had a good friend, Allison Werner, and Ann Burke also, who were part of the co-founding team. So I knew what their vision was for WIT early on, and I really bought into it. So I knew I wanted to become involved. It's, you know, because we're not densely populated, it's not that you're always bumping into someone and forging a connection based on where your day-to-day life takes you. So it is really important to get out there. And I thought this was a perfect opportunity to do that. And I am service-minded. And so it was also a way to feel like I'm giving back to others.
What? I guess this is more for Catherine. What made you decide to seek out a mentor?
Yeah, so OpenPixel's been around now for a little over 3 years. We just hit our 3-year mark in February. And during that time, you know, as I spoke about before, I'm so involved in the art side of things and being a creative that, like, when it came to starting a business, I was starting from ground zero. I had no idea what to do. We ended up seeking some guidance through the Valley Venture Mentors. And so we went through their mentorship program at the time, and, you know, they would ask us questions where they were like, who's your customer segment? And I was the person that was just like, well, anybody can use animation. And that was immediately the wrong answer. And so I think, like, as we've been developing the business and as things have been going forward, and I'm I'm almost sometimes overwhelmed with like what we're learning about and what I'm trying to stay focused on. And so I think when the opportunity came up to actually have a mentor who could like guide me through some of the challenges that I was having at the time, I jumped on it because I think I realized that looking back, I've had people in my life that like I can now say were probably mentors for me, but I've never gone through a formal program before and I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what it was going to be like, but I really felt like I would get the help that I needed at that time. And that is absolutely the case.
Were you guys nervous when you first started mentoring or being mentored? And what were you nervous about?
I was. I was definitely nervous. Because they match you and you don't really know who you're being matched with. So I was like, oh, I don't know anything about Megan. I don't know what she's going to think about me. I don't know what, like, I don't know if I'm going to come across as like a crazy person who's like, I need help and like everything's on fire. And so I was definitely nervous at first. Because it was a formalized program, I got a lot of guidance from sort of the initial resources that they provided. They were like, okay, here's a couple questions that you can ask during your first meeting and kind of get a sense of what you're looking for. I feel like it might have, and I'll speak for myself here, that I feel like it took maybe a couple of different meetings to kind of get into a groove where then we were like, okay, this is the thing that we can focus on for a little while. Because I think when I had the first meeting, I kind of like threw everything out there and I was just like, I don't know, I have this problem and this problem and I like, what do I do? So I think I was nervous at first, but Megan was very calm and very understanding and like helped work through like, let's get you focused and this is the challenge we should focus on this time.
Yeah, I think I have had a lot of experiences mentoring and being a mentee through, you know, the workplace or business school. We have an organization called Sloan Women in Management and they'll ask you to come back and share experiences with current students. But it wasn't a situation where folks spend a lot of time going over the definition of what mentoring is all about. It was kind of like this unspoken thing where everyone knows what being a mentor is in the workplace. They'll say you've been a mentor, but then you have a sponsor. So your sponsor is looking at your career progression, is helping you kind of move up in your career, whereas your mentor is more of a casual relationship where kind of everything's on the table. So a long way of saying what one thing that gave me pause was, you know, with and to its credit and being a new organization, you know, spent a little time trying to make sure that volunteers understood what the definition of mentoring was. And so I think that's the one thing that gave me pause, because I wanted to play by their rules and, you know, not be overbearing, not solve the problems for Catherine, not try to feed her and really be a good listener, which is, you know, always great advice for anyone in any part of life, right? Just listen twice as much as you speak. So I was probably not exactly myself, just trying to consider what was being given to me as far as this view of what mentoring should be. And I think I agree with Catherine. I think we fairly quickly fell into our own group. And now I don't hesitate to maybe give more advice or to be more of an advisory kind of figure, because I think in some of our discussions, it's clear she's asking for it. So I don't worry so much about that prescribed, you know, definition of what the relationship is supposed to be. I go with the flow based on, you know, what's the topic at hand for Catherine. And she always brings, you know, she's the one who drives the agenda. So
Catherine, you talked a little bit about the resources that you sought out before you had met Megan. So Megan, I guess my question for you is, what resources did you use? Did you use any outside resources to help Catherine or help anybody that you've mentored before?
When I am mentoring Catherine, her business questions are things that are very familiar to me. So I am mostly drawing upon my professional experiences and the workplace and in my education. So thus far, you know, that's really, you know, just been leaning on that. I think it's worked really well. I've loved getting to learn about animation because it's not an area that I'm familiar of, but I find that the specific industry or what they're working at isn't as relevant as just general, the running of a business is really what's at hand.
Then this is a question for the both of you. So what was your overall experience like? What worked well? What hasn't worked well? And you mentioned that you guys have been working longer than the program expected. So could you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah. So for me, the program as a whole was wonderful. I think they did a great job of trying to keep everybody on track and, you know, kind of checking in sometimes. At least this was on the mentee side, like checking in about how it's going so far, like if you've had the chance to meet. And we were pretty understanding, I think, right off the bat and like flexible to each other's schedules and knowing that, like, you know, if we're not going to meet that month, that's okay. We'll make a time for another month and that'll be great. So I was really appreciative of that level of flexibility. So overall, I thought it was awesome. I really think Megan did such a wonderful job of like focusing me and keeping me honed in into like what my goals are and what I wanted to do. Like, I think that the biggest lesson I got right off the bat was like, I need to establish boundaries for myself, because I'm definitely the person that will always say like yes to a million things. And so it totally affects your workday when you're like, you know, you're trying to get a project done and someone calls you and says, hey, can you do this? It's like another 5 minutes out of your day that could have been spent doing something more productive. So we focused a lot on that at first, just trying to get myself in a place where I was able to say no to people, like to kind of establish my boundaries and to see where that adds time to my day, which is great because now I have time and it's wonderful. Yeah, that's where I'll start. I don't know if you have something to add to that part, Megan.
I was going to say that as eager as I was to be involved in this program, I could not have imagined a more fantastic mentee than Catherine. She is such a joy to work with. She has so many qualities that I admire. It's just, I could go on and on and on.
Catherine, you talked a little bit about how you were told to say no, which leads into the next question that Dr. Schoonmaker just said we had to ask. What was that adjustment for you not being able to say yes to everyone? Because I feel like as college students, we tend to do that sometimes and kind of fill our plates too fast.
Yeah, I think it's hard. It's hard at first. Like if that's something that is kind of ingrained in you, I think I've learned, like, if anything, that initial kind of conversation about, you know, needing to say no more often, like that was a conversation that then got me thinking afterwards and being like, oh, like how often do I really do this? It was kind of like a moment to take some time to think about what I've been doing my entire life. And then, you know, having all those moments where like, oh God, I did it there and I did it there. But then you kind of move forward a little bit. And it's one of those things where I don't think I've told you this yet, Megan, but like there's times where if a situation like that comes up, I will like channel my inner Megan and I'll be like, okay, it's got to be done like this. We're going to get it this way. And it's going to be like, here are the reasonings why I want to do it this way. And like that just helps to like to fuel what I need to do. Because if I didn't believe in it from myself at first to be like to say no, I'm like, I know Megan, she would say no right now in this moment. Like I can do that too. So it like helps to motivate me to have that kind of inner guidance that is now in my head all the time. That's like, okay, yeah, I can really do this. And that's because she helped push me to get there. So even if it doesn't come from like your own head necessarily, you can think back being like, oh, like maybe my mom would say something. My mom would be like, no, don't do that. And you can like channel those people that you're close with that you kind of admire.
What she did, personal experience, and she did it so well. I asked to have a person intern, and I thought OpenPixel will be perfect for this intern. And it probably really wasn't perfect. And Catherine handled it so well. She said no, and then she channeled me. She did it quickly, and she channeled me to another spot, and it worked out great. So there's a testament to success. You did your channeling and you got it. So congratulations.
Yay, thank you.
So for both of you, what is it like to have your work life and or your work and your life as one, as opposed to two separate entities?
Well, my work, my life always feels like it's a little bit mixed together. I think when you're responsible for a marriage and children, it's hard to really completely divorce yourself unless you are, you know, focused in a meeting or a task around that. But I think that's what having a career and having domestic life, you know, it's, there's always other considerations to juggle. And so just being really clear about your time and your priorities and setting yourself up for success so that you can manage both domains.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges that we initially had for OpenPixel was that we're three co-founders that are also three close friends. And so navigating that space, it's like, it was an instant just kind of, oh, how do we, you know, put on our business hat right now and make sure that we're talking professionally and we're not sort of having any biases between us or things of that nature. And that has, it's gotten quite a lot better, actually. We actually do this thing now where we have a business therapist where like once a month we'll talk to this therapist and make sure that we have any miscommunications addressed and any conflicts addressed so that we're like in a safe place to do it that allows us to work through challenges that were otherwise maybe a little too personal that we didn't realize at the time. I find that those lessons that I'm learning in the business are now applying to my personal life kind of all the time. It's made things a lot easier to communicate with even my mom and my grandma and all these people that I usually, like, you kind of know how to speak to people, but until you, like, take it inward and have a new perspective, like what Megan was saying, it's, if anything, I've learned just how to be a better listener through the whole process because it's really, it makes such a big difference.
That's awesome. Was there ever a time that you guys felt as if you messed up? And if there was, how did you bounce back?
Catherine is so kind-hearted. And I don't want people to think that I'm not kind-hearted. Because I think I am. But I guess one, I do have separation in my personality in a big way when I'm in a professional mode versus, you know, a casual mode. I think I am kind of two different people, actually. But she's so kind-hearted that you never want to stifle someone's nature. But if it bleeds over too much where she's taken away from opportunities to grow her business or she's giving too much to others charitably, you know, she has a real passion for developing talent in animation, specifically amongst females. And it's wonderful. And she would make her really say yes a lot to that. And she should say yes to that. And that's actually business rationale, but helping her keep the eye on the ball of keeping the lights on in the business and focusing on, they were a young company, actually, we were 3 years old, of, you know, developing the business from a client perspective and a sales perspective. So helping her, you know, train her to think critical priorities, but not killing her kindness, which is when you meet her, it just comes out right away.
And do either of you have any recommendations for anyone wanting to get into being a mentor or being mentored?
Yeah, I can speak on the mentee side of things. The one thing I think I learned right away was that, and I wasn't necessarily prepared for until I saw it in one of the resources that they provided, was that the mentee is really the one, if you need the help, you got to put the time and the effort into it. You have to be the one to kind of set some expectations and to make sure that you're organized in a way that allows you to essentially ask for guidance when you need it and to take the initiative to do so. Like I'm usually the one, I think, at this point that will be like, okay, I'm in need of this help right now. Are you available in the next couple of weeks so that we can sit down and talk about it? That has been something that I will continue to do. because now that we understand what that communication looks like, it's a lot easier. But yeah, I think to start off, you have to be the one to drive it. And if you don't have the drive, then maybe you're not ready for mentorship at that moment. It's not to say that you'll never be, but you have to know the expectation up front that it will be time on your side.
Yes, I agree. It's time commitment on both sides and openness, especially to and being coachable if you are the mentee, just knowing that you can accept feedback and so forth. On the mentoring side, I think it varies by the organization that's putting it together. I think I mentioned that WIT did have a questionnaire, an online questionnaire that may have had some kind of algorithm behind it that gave them some insight as to whom to pair the volunteer, mentor volunteer with. I don't have a lot of insight around what that looked like once they got all the responses, but I think it had something to do with how we're paired, clearly. So
I'm going to ask you guys about some skills that you have and that you've developed. So what leadership skills were most difficult for you guys to develop?
Let's see. For me, I think it's definitely the idea of saying no more often. Saying yes to everything meant that I was always a follower as opposed to like the leader that's telling that or asking or saying what's going to happen now. I found that one of the biggest challenges that I had that I remember Megan and I talked about for a while was that in this group of three that we have, it's like, it's almost as if I feel like I have to ask for permission every time to do something. Like I can't push the business forward unless all of us agree on like 80 different points that like, okay, is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? So in a sense, I've learned a lot about how to be more of a scrappy entrepreneur, so to speak, to kind of just say, let me follow this thought through as much as I need to. And then when I'm ready to bring it to the team, I have my guidelines. I have my reasoning behind why I think this is a good idea. And so it comes across more as like, not only do I feel a little bit more confident because of it, but I feel like I have a better handle on, when to just push something through and to make it happen versus when to say, okay, this is actually something that we need to bring to the team and talk about further and progress with together.
You may all have taken a class in organizational behavior, possibly.
Yeah.
So when I was exposed to that content, there was a unit around different lenses of an organization, the strategic lens, the cultural lens, and the political lens. I forget who was responsible for that theory of management organizations. But I find that in large corporations, especially, like working in Gillette and Procter & Gamble, there is, as wonderful as my experience was and as wonderful as all the people were, and I have lifelong friendships, everyone does need to be attuned to the political lens. That is, how you are perceived, apart from the merits of your work. So things like, having that in the back of your mind, managing up, self-promotion, those for me were not the things I wanted to think about. Not that they matter entirely, but they matter somewhat.
So I know Catherine mentioned that you worked at EA. What are some of the skills that you learned from your former jobs that you guys use today?
Yeah, so I've definitely learned, I think the biggest thing that I got out of all of the studios that I've worked at was how to communicate between each department. It's in an interesting sense, I imagine this happens at a lot, pretty much every business where like the different departments kind of all speak different languages, so to speak. In creative, it's very clear because you have like a group of people that work primarily in code, and then you have a group of people that just paint or do illustration and design. And those types of communications are very different between them. So if anything, I feel like I gained a lot of knowledge about how each department communicates between each other, where the challenges are in that, and how to bring that to our company. Because we find that even with you know, working with clients, you might get a piece of feedback that will say something like, oh, can you make this look cooler? And we have to be the ones to say, well, what do you mean by that? Do you mean like you want like cooler, like there's Michael Bay explosions everywhere? Or do you want it to be like physically colder? It like, do you want the characters to start shivering? Do you want the colors to look cooler? What do you mean by this? So if anything, I think it's just been understanding the different languages that each company speaks or each department speaks and each person speaks. That is kind of really exciting for me because I really like that part of human behavior.
So I think the biggest thing that I apply in any situation professionally is just critical thinking. And I started learning that as a young child in school. So it's how you think, how to think through a situation, how to think through a problem. I think most of kind of what I've done can be boiled down to sort of problem solving in a way. I mean, you have your white sheet of paper, you have your plan, and that's strategic planning and the ideation and all that, you know, blending of the business goals with the creative solution, but you also have problem solving. So I just think knowing how to think things through critically is probably the number one skill that I apply no matter what situation.
So for Megan, what are the common misconceptions about being a mentor? Like, if there are any?
I'm not sure I have a great handle on the misconceptions. I guess the way I would think about that question is, why don't more people mentor? What is a barrier to mentorships? A barrier might be that you don't think you have enough time. I would dispute that only because I think that the mentor and the mentee can arrive at a mutually suitable solution for how much time they plan to spend together. Aside from possibly sending Catherine something that I think she might find useful, the time I'm spending on it is really just our interaction. So getting myself to our meeting and getting myself back from and having a meeting. So I think that the idea that a person doesn't have time to be a mentor, I think if you want to do it, you can figure out how you could make time.
So for Catherine, what are some important skills that you have learned from Megan?
Boy, that's a long list. Let me see. So learning to say no, learning to manage my time, learning to know, it's like knowing when to be like a team player versus an individual who just needs to be an owner and make a commitment to something. Being a little bit better about taking risks and like letting go of some of my personal like fears or biases around like a challenge that I'm facing. That's probably been one of the biggest ones because we've gone through being like, oh, I want to, you know, I think I want to accomplish this goal and like, here's my like 500 tasks. Which ones do you think I should do first? What, how should I go about this? And she'll just be like, just go for it. Like you're overthinking this too much. Like just see what happens, like follow this through and don't be afraid to just see what happens. So it's like being less afraid about making the mistakes. I think as a lot of small business owners, they like, we treat our businesses like they're our children. Like I, you know, I'm very protective and like, I don't want anything to happen to this company, which sometimes translates into like, therefore I won't do anything because I'm scared and I just want it to be a safe space. But if you don't take any risks, you're not going to get forward. You're not going to progress in the way that you might want to. So Megan's helped me get into a better mindset about like, just go with it, see what happens. And it's okay to make a mistake. We'll regroup afterwards. It's not as big of a deal as I think it is.
5 years ago, did you both envision your career as it is today?
For me, absolutely not. I really thought that I was going to, when I moved to California, my intention was to stay there because that's kind of where we find most of the animation studios are, both in the video game industry and in like feature film. All the big studios are out on the West Coast. After I was working at EA, I was, you know, I was thinking about what I wanted to do and kind of ended up pursuing, when I moved back, my two friends had said, hey, we're starting this company. Do you want to be a part of it? And I was just kind of like, yeah, let's see what happens. I don't know what this is going to lead into. I just know that, like, I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'll figure out the rest of the pieces afterwards. So now that has, like, completely transformed into finding what my, like, real passions are. Megan talked about how, like, I really have a desire to bring more women into this industry and to create a safe haven for women in this environment, because it's such a male-dominated field right now. So because I have that passion and I'm an owner, I can pursue that in my own business every day. And that feels like something that I wouldn't have had an opportunity otherwise, in the same way, perhaps, to be like in control of that space. So yeah, I did not envision this at all, but I could not be happier about where I am.
That's great.
I will respond both yes and no to your question, Chad. Yes, in that 5 years ago, I was in a similar spot where what I'm doing with my career depends upon my being a self-starter. So, you know, I'm working as an outsider. So any work I get is work that I cultivate on my own or through an introduction or through an idea or something like that. So that has stayed the same. 5 years ago, I was not involved in the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Western Mass. And that's been a wonderful change. Just being able to be involved, having sort of known about it, but, you know, not really having put a plan together to figure out how to get involved. So that's been wonderful. And then Launch 413 didn't exist 5 years ago. WIT didn't exist 5 years ago. So gosh, you step back and you're like, wow, how time can just bring about great new developments. And I think that's, for you being college students, it's something to always keep in mind, because I think there is a lot of time pressure, especially when you're graduating and you want to put pressure on yourself to make sure you find that great first job. And yes, you want to make good decisions. You want to leverage, you know, Western Oakland University and leverage it kind of right away. Good things are going to happen, you know, after graduation, years from now, months from now. So it's just having some perspective on how time can bring about great things, even when you're not planning for it.
So that concludes all the questions that I have for you guys. So thank you for your time, taking the time to join us today. It was nice to hear your input on what you are doing to benefit and grow the number of women in business. Thank you so much. I think we all got a lot of insight into all the things that we discussed today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.